Our next speaker is Beata Dubinsky, and she's going to be talking about predictors of participation in a fire department home safety study or program. And Beata is associate project manager in the Department of Social Sciences and Health Policy at the Wake Forest School of Medicine. So we have a broad range of institutions represented here. Welcome. I see more people have made it, woken up this morning. When we first were here, there were only a couple of people in the audience, so glad to see you all.
So as a couple people in this room have witnessed, I have managed to fall on my face spontaneously this week, so I've avoided a TBI, but it's good to know that some people would be able to code that successfully if it happened this morning. First I should like to acknowledge the co-authors on this project, and I have no relationships to disclose. So as you may have seen earlier in Dr. Bada's slide of leading causes of injury among youth, fires and burns are the leading cause of home injury deaths among those who are younger than 15, and a majority of these result from home fires, but we know the advantages of having smoke alarms installed. Obviously, in the event of a fire, smoke alarms can reduce the risk of death by 61%. The CDC-sponsored smoke alarm installation and fire safety education program has been an initiative to distribute smoke alarms and especially to increase smoke alarm coverage in high-risk communities. And this program recommends installing lithium batteries, which can last for up to 10 years and are easier to maintain for homeowners or for those who are residing in a household. And there is evidence for the effectiveness of these installation programs, but we don't know much about what factors might maximize participation in them. So the Johns Hopkins Home Safety Study was developed to start addressing this question. It was a partnership between the Center for Injury Research and Policy, the Baltimore City Fire Department, the Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, the Smoke Alarm Installation and Fire Safety Education Program, Environmental Justice Partnerships, and the Urban Health Institute. So this study took place in Baltimore City, Maryland, the results that I'm going to be presenting on weren't initially built into the study, but we were able to look at some data that came out of it, but I think it's important to know sort of the structure of how this study was set up. So they, at the core of it, were comparison groups that were created to randomize pairs of census tracts. So one census tract in each pair was randomized to an enhanced condition and one to the standard condition. So the enhanced was trying to address this question of what might maximize participation. So there were community health workers who promoted the event in advance. They provided additional safety education to participants on the day of the event. There was a mobile safety center in the community that offered participants an interactive educational experience. And in contrast, the standard condition was sort of the program as usual as the fire department had been implementing it. So project teams knocked on the doors of all addresses in these 12 census tracts. So it's a total of 9,737 addresses, but only 8,080 of these were occupied residences. And this took place over 170 home visit events, as we call them, between March 2010 and 2011. And there was a close to even split between the number of events that were in census tracts that were assigned to the standard condition and to the enhanced condition. So the aims of this particular analysis that we were able to conduct was to, again, reinforcing this idea of increasing the understanding of how best to do a home visiting program. There were two particular focuses. So the first was to determine if selected characteristics of a home visit event would predict whether someone would be at home at the time of a visit. And the second was to determine if someone is home, are there selected characteristics that would prevent if the resident would choose to participate in the program. So these selected characteristics were data that were collected on for each home visit event, and so these were what was available to us, but we thought that they might be relevant and interesting to look at, and they include a couple environmental features. So what day of the week was the home visit event conducted on? And was it a weekday or a weekend? We were just dichotomized into the two categories. What time of day was it? Was it during the daytime or evening? Was considered after 5 p.m.? Did it rain at all during the event? And then there were two programmatic features, the first one being the obvious, the treatment area was the home visit event in the standard census tracts or in one of the enhanced census tracts, and was the battalion chief from the fire department present along with the teams as they went along and knocked door to door. So we generated multi-level models for both of these aims using GLAMS, a generalized linear latent and mixed models feature in STATA. There are two essentially parallel models, and we, for each home visit event, generated summary information which reflected the number of eligible households in that home visit event, the number of households where someone answered the door, and the number of households that participated in the study. So we ran two logistic models, the first which was looking at, which used the information of how many households had somebody at home during a home visit event, along with the number of eligible households during that event, and the second, the number of participating households and those that had someone at home. And there were some, since this wasn't initially built into the design of the study, their visits weren't, I guess, so we decided to cluster on census tracts because visits weren't randomly assigned into these different variables across the census tracts. For instance, if a team visited one census tract and noticed that, oh, there weren't a lot of people home during the day, they might have made the active decision to come home. If they were visiting a different area of that census tract at a later time, they would come back in the evening when they felt that there might be more people there. So we wanted to make sure that this was accounted for in the model. So just for a summary of how these home visits look, there was a large range in the number of eligible addresses in any one given home event. So as you can see, it went anywhere from zero, so who visited a bunch of addresses that were either vacant or commercial properties or just currently unoccupied. So that ranged from 0 to 163, but there was an average of about 50 homes, 50 eligible addresses on any one given event. The number of addresses of someone home obviously, again, ranged from either no one, there not being any possibility of anybody being at home, to 78, but about 20 addresses had someone at home on average during an event, and on average about 13 households participated in any one given event. And these are some characteristics that describe these home visit events based on the features that we were looking at. So as I mentioned before, about an even split between the standard and enhanced condition. Similarly, an even split between the day of the week and then a little more disparity in the characteristics of whether there was precipitation and what time of day it was conducted, as well as whether the battalion chief was on site. So our first model was again predicting if somebody was at home. So our first level units had, there were 157 events that had complete data for all these characteristics, and then we had 12 level 2 units for these census tracts. So I don't know if you can see the day of the week and time of day variables were significantly associated with predicting if somebody was in the home during an event. So there was almost 1.5 times the odds of somebody being at home on a weekend, and similarly about 1.5 times the odds of someone being at home in the evening. So that's sort of intuitive. It would make sense that there would be more people home at this time of day, but it could be good to focus efforts to try and address those times and find people at home, because one additional aspect was that each address was only visited one time, so you really want to try and maximize somebody being at home the first time around, because if you miss them the first time, then there's not a chance to enroll them in the program, at least for this time, for this study, and I would sort of presume that as fire departments implement this, or other community trials are implemented around the country. There's sort of a similar approach that you don't keep returning to places where you don't find anybody at home. So the second analysis was looking at predicting entering the households. And again, we had 157 level 1 units and 12 level 2 units of our census tracts. And here it was interesting that different variables were significantly associated with somebody predicting the program being able to enter the household as opposed to somebody being at home. So here, as was reported sort of in the main findings of the study, the enhanced study condition was significantly associated with somebody choosing to participate in the study when the teams knocked at their door. So it was really great to reinforce that in this analysis and see that again. Interestingly enough, when it was raining, people were half as likely to participate. So I had almost hypothesized the opposite, that people might take pity on these teams standing outside in the rain, but if anything, no, we don't want anybody trekking mud throughout our homes. All right, so from these analyses, we sort of concluded that the Baltimore City Fire Department in the future could maximize participation in a community home visiting program by trying to plan home visiting events in the evenings and or on the weekends. Those were the characteristics that were associated with predicting if somebody was at home, so you'd find more people at home. Trying to avoid the rain as much as is possible, and employing pre-promotion strategies that were used in the intervention communities to make potential participants aware of the initiative ahead of time and hopefully get them in the door. So this was obviously specific to Baltimore City, but it might be similar characteristics that would be useful to explore in other urban areas, especially in similar sized cities, but it'd be great to see how this varied in different types of communities around the country as well. All right, and I'd just like to acknowledge additional faculty that were involved in the project and the community health worker team that helped to implement this program. Thank you. So thanks for pointing the battalion chief out, because I didn't make any mention of that. We had sort of hypothesized that if the battalion chief was there, that people might see someone of authority and it might give the program more credibility. They might be more willing to let the team inside. But actually, more of the variability in whether the battalion chief was there or not was seen in the beginning. I think the goal was to have the battalion chief there all the time, and I think it initially took a little bit of pressure to make sure that somebody was there in all the events. So ultimately it wouldn't have been associated with it, because as time went on, they were there consistently.
Does weekend and evening have any deal on like a negative effect? So if somebody is visiting home during the weekend, does it help to go during the evening hours?
That's a good question. I believe that I don't think that we looked at the interaction, so I can't directly answer your question, but I think at that point there isn't a multiplicative effect, but I can't, we'd be happy to look into that more. So. So I'm going to try and divert this question to Vanya Jones, who is one of the faculty on the project. She might be able to speak more to that.
Weekly to make sure we were reinforcing the strategies that were set up. they called us, they went out, but they were very well known in the community, so it was actually like that opposite. People knew exactly who they were when they were walking down the street and were kind of like, so what are you here for? And that was, I think, one of the benefits to having been the an established program already known by the community. But great question. We're fortunate to have that then.
I realize that it was a methodological study, but one of my questions would be, if you're looking into the whole matter of what people have at home in way of fire safety, would it not also be appropriate to require about carbon monoxide detectors? I know in our area, which is central Pennsylvania, almost all new builds combine those two together, but there are a fair number of houses that have fire alarms but don't have carbon monoxide detectors.
Yeah, so that's a really great point. I only really summarized the main features of the study that were most relevant to this analysis, but I think that is a fantastic segue to our next speaker who is going to address that specifically.